easy to become connected, but it sometimes feels to me like it's superficial. It's on the surface, it's this connection, but we don't really know each other. And if there's not a strong relationship...
Now, if your buddy is incredibly busy, don't ask him for, hey, let's go play golf and let's go play paddle or let's go for a hike. Like, the guy's not going to have that time. So respect that he doesn't have that time. He's not going to be able to meet. He's not going to be able to do the normal things that you would normally do when you guys aren't hectically busy. So, like, what value can you offer without a meeting?
Those little things that you are mentioning actually puts us in a position where other people firstly know where we're going through and why we are less active or why we're not pitching up to certain events. Before we start this podcast, I've got one little favor to ask you. Can you please hit the subscribe button down below so we can help more people every single week? Thank you. Welcome to the Right Place podcast, where John and I talk about all things business, relationships, and networking. And today, John, firstly, welcome back to me. I think I've been off the screen for about 2 months, and we will talk about that a little bit later as well. But I did miss this. I was so energized yesterday and today preparing for today, and I really missed our interaction. So how have you been in the last 2 months?
No, thanks, Rudolf. It's good to chat to you again. It's been a couple of good months. I know you've been in the trenches in the public sector project you've been working on. Yeah, my side has been interesting. Joined the Laka Network team supporting the Cape Town members and doing some really cool stuff with Rania, Nick, and Madeline. No, otherwise, all good my side, man. Good to have you back.
Yeah, very good. I thought when we spoke about today's recording that we need to talk about my life a little bit. It's all about me in the end. But to talk about the fact that we sometimes get so busy, and I was really busy. I always tell people, in my opinion, I was working hard in the last 2 months because everyone's heart is different. But I was so busy that I felt, to some extent, certain things just didn't go my way. Certain things didn't work out. But also in terms of things that I was doing before these last 6 weeks or 2 months, that things felt a little bit like falling to the wayside. I didn't get around to a lot of things that I was used to doing and that I was busy with and building towards. And for that reason, it almost felt like I'm in this space where I'm getting disconnected from specific things and areas in my life that I wanted to be involved with, but now weren't that much of a priority at the time. And when we spoke about it, we said, listen, let's talk about what to do in these situations, because nowadays with technology and all of these things, it's almost easy to become connected, but it sometimes feels to me like it's superficial. It's on the surface. It's this connection, but we don't really know each other. And if there's not a strong relationship, people don't understand. They feel like you disappeared and you're not active anymore and you don't give them value or whatever the case is. And for that reason, you almost lose the connection. Have you had that as well in your life, John?
No, 100%. And I mean, I'm lucky that I understand a little bit about what you were going through the last couple of months, because I understand the public sector cycle and the timelines involved, and that everything is pretty chaotic. So for me, I had that perspective, and I knew one day Rudolf would show up again and we'd be recording podcasts again and hanging out and stuff like that. So I had that perspective. But I think when it comes to these connections and these relationships, I think two things are important. I think it's important to understand that both parties are 100% responsible for the relationship. It's not really a 50-50 thing. If you're having a 50-50 relationship, then it's a weak relationship. But if a relationship or connection is important to you, you can't just depend on the other person to maintain it. You've both got to maintain it. And I also think it's important that people understand that there are different seasons in life. You've got a season to be busy, a season to be on holiday, a season to be doing different projects, a season where you almost want to be left alone to figure stuff out. So these relationships don't really have a straight path where every single day is the same as the last day, and it's easy to pick up and you get comfortable. So relationships go through these ups and downs, these mountains, these valleys. And if you maintain that perspective and understand that, when does my connection or when does my relationship need some help or need me to step in, then I think you can maintain a relationship through whatever comes your way.
Yeah, I fully support that. Interestingly, I had that conversation over the weekend with someone, and was all about marriage and your married life. We discussed exactly that, where we said, listen, two people that are broken going into a marriage, that relationship goes in broken as well. But if you go as two whole beings and you understand yourself, you know who you are, that relationship's almost bound to work. It's something that 200%ers make 100%. But as soon as you multiply it with something less than 100, it reduces. And people don't understand that. We always think that we're going to fix the other person, which is not the case. It never works out that way. And moving away from married life, but in business relationships, it's the same. If there's not a level of trust, if that trust relationship and the understanding, as you say, is not there, it's not going to work. It's going to fail, and it's going to hurt someone, but maybe not hurt as in emotional or whatever, but things are going to fall off the wagon a bit, and we're going to sit in a situation where we don't feel like the other person's contributing equally. And from my own perspective, I communicated obviously that I'm going to be busy. It's this wild ride. Things happened in my life as well. I mean, a whole lot of things. I think I posted on LinkedIn. We moved. Our dog got put down 2 weeks later for illness, suddenly. And then there was this situation with my brother and the police and the whole thing that I also posted about on LinkedIn. So things just happened, and I was already busy and under pressure at work, so much so that I was working 12-hour days. And then these admin in my personal life. And for that reason, I sometimes, as Rudolf, as myself, I just withdraw. I become so focused on what I need to do that I almost block out what's around me. And I think that's a very dangerous thing to do, and something that I need to focus on personally and trying to see, listen, maybe it's better to just find two or three people that I can talk to and say, listen, I'm going through this. Support me, connect with me, ask me how it's going. And if you realize that I'm not being honest, yeah, call me on it. But at least have that accountability towards someone on a personal level, but also on a work level. And like you said, the seasonal aspect is very important. You cannot continue working like that forever. It's impossible. It's humanly impossible. We need to have these breaks as well. And I'm very focused on putting up my little bit of holidays or weekends away and so on early on in the year. My wife loves that about me. I plan my holidays before I start planning my work. But that is my refresh time. And unfortunately, because I have that, it almost creates a deadline in my own life, whereas things need to happen before that. So I work very hard, and then I'll disconnect completely for a week or for a few days at least, where I just relax and refocus almost, and gives me energy throughout the year. Years ago, I would only take December holidays, but nowadays I plan these things in between, because otherwise you just get swamped and wiped away with the river, and you go end of the year and you're burned out completely. Those are things that I try and build in, but it's really a process of understanding how your work cycle would work, and then having measures in place to counter these things that we can't control. Because if you don't have that foundational things in your life, you're not going to be able to cope once that happens, and it will happen. That's life.
No, 100%. I think what happened with you is that you had severe work pressure, and then you had these personal things that were happening on top of that, which you didn't necessarily plan for. Yes, you did plan to move house and everything, but there were these other complications. And that's just sometimes generally how life works, where you're already incredibly busy, and then the worst thing possible will happen at that same time. And then you have to pick up the pieces and you don't know what's going on and things will demakar. But it's impossible to plan for every eventuality. But at least if you have two or three people that you can talk to or contacts you can check in with, or you ask them, hey, please check in with me every Tuesday, or please give me a phone call every Thursday. I'm going through this next 2 months is hectic and I just want someone to hold me accountable. So like almost pre-planning it. And then also if you need extra help, then ask for help. It's the worst thing that you can do is like almost sit in silence where things are going wrong or there's a lot of pressure and then you expect people to anticipate your need. Everyone's got their own life as well. Everyone's got their own personal stories or tragedies they're dealing with or work pressures as well. So they can't necessarily figure out, hey man, I need to support Rudolf. They're also going through their own stuff and people are quite, can be quite self-consumed in their own season of life that they're going through. But if you almost set up some sort of accountability system or keep people on your radar, that is very, very useful and becomes part of your habit. And then you look forward to those check-ins because you know, okay, cool, I'm going to disconnect from the chaos and I'm going to chat to this person or I'm going to have coffee or we're going to go for a run. And then at least I've seen them. I've stepped away from the madness for a moment. And that can just give you a little bit of a breather and a bit of perspective on where you are. And you just take stock and then you'll jump back into the madness. But at least you've had this break. You've broken it up a little bit, like to go to ground for an extended period of time and miss these connections. People almost don't know how to handle that. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to offer you support. And then you need to do a lot of work when you come back to kind of rebuild those relationships.
Yeah, I fully agree. I think as you were talking, I'm thinking of this. I use LinkedIn a lot and I know you do as well, but we sometimes chat on LinkedIn. We put stuff out there and we put a few messages in the DMs and so on. But we don't necessarily experience that as a real relationship. But that human connection part, if I had to choose 1 hour a week while I was very busy, whether I'm going to spend the hour on LinkedIn to relax versus to go and have a coffee with a buddy of mine, that coffee would do much more for me in terms of relaxing, getting a new perspective, and having a real conversation than spending it online. So I'd definitely go for that personally. I quickly want to position something with you that I'm thinking of. I remember years ago when I was still doing a lot of proposals and so on, work, also seasonal work, I would be very busy for a period of time like now, in the cycle of the PFMA in the public sector. But in that time, you almost don't have the energy or the capacity to market or write proposals or to tender almost for work after the city season is finished. And for that reason, as soon as it stops, because there's a legislated deadline, that work stops. You don't have anything else. That work is completely gone because you've not planned for, and even if you plan, but you've not put in the effort because of the capacity issue on your side to get work after that period is done. So I always want to put it as an analogy between if you're not going to put in the effort while you're really busy in a relationship to just check in, to communicate your struggles as well and your pressure so that everyone's on the same page, that relationship afterwards is also going to have that problem, that it'll dwindle down. It will just be swallowed up and it will be gone. So it's very important to build during that phase where you are busy, to build towards what will happen after that season is finished. And otherwise you start from zero. So you're not just in a position where you can pick up the pieces. You actually restart that relationship.
Yes, I'm reminded of what Charles Schwan, our mutual friend, posted about recently about, so what is 1% better every day? And he actually went and worked it out. And 1% of your day is 15 minutes. And if you think, so if you can schedule 15 minutes a day, or even 15 minutes every second day, just to be intentional, send people some WhatsApps, see what's going on the tender bulletins, or spending some time contacting previous clients to see if there's new projects available. That's just 1% of your day. That can then keep those relationships a little bit warm. Even if you just send a quick voice note, hey man, just checking in, things are hectic, looking forward to seeing you in 6 weeks' time, then we'll have a proper catch up, or we'll go play golf, or go for a run, or whatever. But maybe that is something that you can get intentional about and just incorporate in your daily routine, and that will like steady the ship. And I really believe that investment, 10 or 15 minutes a day, can really pay dividends when you need it to after your busy season.
Yeah, I agree. I think that we shouldn't fool ourselves. We're all busy. We're all always busy. I don't think we ever think that it's just chill, or I don't have anything to do. It's always busy, and I understand that. I think for me, I'm always busy as well. But this last few weeks was really just that pressure of a deadline, things that just had to happen. And as I said, I sometimes extract myself from other things because of this, and it's something to work on. But those little things that you are mentioning actually puts us in a position where other people firstly know where we're going through and why we are less active, or why we're not pitching up to certain events and so on, because that also takes time. So we prioritize, but in the end, this life is all about the relationships and the way we live our life, and not necessarily the work and the output and the deals we close and so on. So that little bit of effort that you put in might just mean the world to the other person. I'm thinking of Mark Sham, for instance, on the last while. We've spoken quite a bit about small businesses and how it affects them, certain decisions that other people make. And that obviously almost destroys lives, livelihoods as well, in a certain respect. And what is it that me and you and everyone else can do to assist in that situation, but also just the support, just a voice note, just a message, a reply on an email saying, listen, yeah, I understand I cannot do anything for you now, but let's catch up in June. And then the person knows, listen, I'm expecting something to happen later on. But key to all of this, in my opinion, is that communication. We can do anything, we can be very busy, but if we don't communicate and almost curtail the expectations to an extent, the other person will feel like you're neglecting, you're letting the relationship split. And if they understand, listen, it is busy, we do have a catch up in a month's time, so at least I know it's not all lost, then they can build on that, or they can wait for that at least. But if the communication is not there at the start, that is definitely not going to happen. So I think that is very important. John, before you go into something, because I can see you want to say something now, but before you go into something else, I prepared something that I think we can do a little bit different. And I thought, let's, instead of talking for 40 minutes on the same topic and throwing some ideas around, let's do a bit of a quick fire tip session. We both prepared a few things that we believe could be important or could help other people in the same situation. The way we're going to do it, John, is you're going to throw out your little bit of a tip, explain it a bit, and throw it back to me, and I'll do the same. So I don't have a timer, but we'll try and aim for about a minute on each and do 10. It gives us 10 minutes, and then after that, we can close off. It's a very short and sharp way to almost end this conversation. But the reality is that we're all going through this. We all have our peak seasons. We all have our little bit of strife and issues in life. But what do we do when we're there? What can we give people to try and alleviate or reduce the stress in that position? So the pressure is on you, John, to start with the first one.
No, thanks, Rudolf. No, I think the first one is a slightly obvious one, and maybe one that I alluded to earlier, talking about the 15 minutes, and that's doing quick check-ins. If you do a quick check-in every day, just do one person a day. I'm going to phone Rudolf. I'm going to phone Ben. I'm going to phone Hannes. I'm going to phone your Don. I'm going to phone Charles, and just have a, send a short message or a Slack message or a LinkedIn DM or something like that. That will really keep that door open. And it might just, it's not necessarily saying, I'm busy. It might just say, hey, what's happening in your life? Or how's that project going? You show an interest in them and you're not using it to vent about how frustrated your busyness is, but you just show an interest in them. And then you can have a short conversation whenever you get to it. But I think that is something very simple that all of us can do. Your side?
Yeah, very good. Mine is almost the same, but a little bit from my perspective and not asking about the other person, and that is to give brief and regular updates. Everyone knows that I'm busy. I'm going through this personal issues. I've got this work pressure or so on. And every now and then I can just give them an update, say, listen, we're moving forward. The deadline's approaching. We're going to make it, or we're really under pressure here. So give the person insight into what you are busy with. It's not like you expecting them to do anything about it, but at least they would then understand it. It comes back to communicating what you are going through, what you are busy with, so that the other person is also involved in it. And it shares life. It shares what we are busy with. So for that update, it gives us a little bit of insight into what John is doing at the moment. At least then I understand. And apart from that, I feel like I'm involved in this. I'm a part of that process. So I think a brief update every now and then to a few friends, and even if it's the same one to 10 different people, could help them to also position the relationship from their side as well. John?
No, excellent. I love that one. I think that can be really empowering to the whole relationship, and people can see a different perspective of you. So number three, I would say is use voice notes. I know there's a lot of people that are allergic to voice notes, but I've got some friends and, we end up sending a 6-7 minute voice note. So you kind of rattle off some stuff. You give them an update, but you talk about what's going on in their life, or you give them some tips, or you're talking about a book you read or something. And the beauty of a voice note is you can reply later with another voice note. And then you've had this conversation, but you've had it at a time that suits both of you. So if you're stuck in traffic or you're at the office really early, send a buddy a voice note. If you leave an office really late, send a buddy a voice note, check in with them again, give them a little bit of update where you are. And I really think this is an efficient and effective way. Everyone's got WhatsApp. You can even do voice notes on LinkedIn now as well. So if you can't get to some of your DMs on LinkedIn, you can't type it, just send the person a voice note. Hey, thanks so much for the message. Really hectic time at work. I'm looking forward to catching up. Here's my Calendly link. Let's schedule a meeting for a month's time. What's your next one?
Very good. I like the voice notes because you can do it while driving and while you're moving around when you're not actually actively working. And then the second part about voice notes that I also like is that the WhatsApp these days has the ability to transcribe the English ones. So if I'm in a meeting, I receive yours and I look at my screen, I click on transcribe and I can read. And maybe type back. So I think that makes voice notes very effective these days, even if you are allergic to them. The next one is about celebrating milestones. We all still have a little bit of time and we always see what other people are busy with. And last night I spoke to someone about the jealousy aspect around behind Facebook sometimes. We see everyone's amazing lives and we're sitting here and we're working and things are not going our way. But when we see these type of things, celebrate that with the other person, give them that bit of feedback saying, listen, yes, I see you've been to this event and it looks cool. But just keep that communication going through celebrating things that happen in their life as well. And maybe on your own side as well, as you reach certain targets, as you move through this process, share that and celebrate with the other person saying, listen, I know you know about this situation, but currently, this is what's happening, or this is where we are. Things are moving forward, and we're making progress in that. Yeah, John?
Yeah, next one would be like a shared digital workspace where we're looking at like collaboration tools to streamline communication. We're looking at any way that we can use what's available out there to have almost seamless communication. And I think, like you said earlier, communication is everything. So if you'll know your friends and you'll know your connections and your relationships, and maybe there's a better way to communicate with them during this busy time, or maybe there's a better way just to keep the relationship warm, but also to kind of add value at the same time. So if you're looking at shared digital workspaces, like what is there available? What tools are there that can really streamline things and make it easier to facilitate these check-ins or these updates that you're doing? Another one from you?
Good, yeah. I think I've spoken about it before we started as well, but very important is to set the expectation, to be very clear as to what you're going through, what people can expect from you, and not to overcommit to specific things, like things that you were busy with in the past that you would not be able to go and do anymore because of time pressure, because of travels, because of whatever the case is. But be very clear in that communication, saying, listen, for the following 4 to 6 weeks, I cannot attend the event. Thank you very much, but I'll see you again. So that other people also understand what to expect from you, and not to just look at overcommitting and then failing them at the end.
Mm. Yeah, I think that one's important, because the worst thing that can happen is no communication. Because then people are like, yeah, but are we not friends? Are we not buddies anymore? What's actually going on? So a little bit of communication is better than no communication. And then you know, having these boundaries and then setting expectations, I think is really crucial. I think one that's important there as well in terms of the boundaries is offering value without a meeting. Now, if your buddy is incredibly busy, don't ask him for, hey, let's go play golf and let's go play paddle, or let's go for a hike. Like, the guy's not going to have that time. So respect that he doesn't have that time. He's not going to be able to meet. You're not going to be able to do the normal things that you would normally do when you guys aren't hectically busy. So like, what value can you offer without a meeting? So like sharing helpful resources, sharing a podcast that you read, or book excerpt or something like that, can just keep the relationship going and say, hey man, I thought of you. I heard this. Here's a short video. Maybe this will help. Or maybe the guy listens to the podcast while he's driving around between clients during his busy time. And that gives you something to talk about when you catch up later. Hey man, oh, such a good podcast you sent to me. So that maintains the relationship without putting the pressure on to meet in person. You got another one?
Yeah, the next one I called drive-by updates. So is that quick, just the check-in or showing your face? And I'm reminded I went to Nampo, and one of our church friends was there working in a studio as a producer. And I knew he was there, so I asked around and I found the studio. And I literally just walked back backstage, shaked his hand and walked off. Didn't say a word because they're concentrating and everything. And then afterwards, about an hour later, it was his break. He sent me like 10 messages, very happy that I just showed face. And I think that is something to also do, is a quick smash and grab almost. Just to go in and out, and give the guy a chocolate or a coffee, or just say, how's it? If you know you're in the area, just pop in and say, how's it? Without taking 2 hours out of his day, because we know that can't afford that. But they have that quick takeaway drive-by meeting.
Yeah, awesome. I love that one. I think that's really cool, because you still made the effort. It's like going to a restaurant and you see a friend on the other side of the restaurant. Walk there and just shake his hand. That's going to mean so much. You don't have to have a half an hour conversation and interrupt it. You just walk past, shake the hand, and that does so much. And maybe he'll give you a call the next day and you set something up. So my next one is an important one. That's acknowledge pressure and show gratitude. So acknowledge that your buddy, your friend is under pressure at the moment. So don't just dismiss it and say, oh, you should just work harder, or you're in the wrong industry or anything like that. Rather say, yes, man, I can see you grafting. That's amazing. And I'm grateful for the friendship and really looking forward to having a good time with you sometime soon. Grateful for the time we can spend together, and let me know how I can help. And that's just encouraging, because that's putting you in their corner. You're cheering for them. You're rooting for them to get through this busy time or this project. And I really think that can really be like a catalyst for like great conversations once the busy time is over. So just acknowledge that pressure that person is facing. One more from you, Rudolf. Yeah.
Yeah, very good. And I think to me, one of the important parts is we know we're going to be busy. So go and plan that after pressure reconnecting exercises, those things that you'll do to reinvest in the relationship to be sure that you can carry forward when the silly season ended, that you're actually able to continue building on it. So plan that in advance. Listen, May is too busy. Can we have a lunch or a breakfast or something on the 10th of June? Then everyone knows, okay, I know it's rough at the moment, but at least I've got something to look forward to. Or plan your holiday at the end of June. Be sure that you go away on that little bit of break, but already plan for what will happen after the silly season has ended.
Yeah, I love that one. I think it gives you something to work towards. It gives you something to, hey man, excited for the golf tour, or excited to go to that restaurant or to do this race with you. And then you can check in with each other on that thing. Hey, how's the training going? How are you feeling? Or so looking forward. So you're giving your buddy space, but you're giving him something to look forward to. No, that's an excellent one.
Yeah, John, it was a nice conversation. And I think what I like about it is I've also learned a few things to do next time this happens, where you almost feel like you're all alone on your little island doing so much work that you can't get to the things that you actually want to do. And yeah, every time someone tells me that I need to plan better, I want to fall over because, yeah, obviously they don't understand that situation. But also, we can plan better, but we can plan to build on these relationships going forward as well. And I think that is the essence of what I thought we can discuss today. And I felt that it came through quite nicely. And hopefully it works for someone.
No, 100%, Rudolf. I'm glad you're back in action on the podcast side and you got through this up and down last couple of months and you're happy and smiley. That's excellent. And I think there's a lot of practical things that you can do. I think it's intentional. You know your relationships are important to you. You know your connections are important to you. So use the technology. Schedule reminders for yourself to check in with people. There's a lot of small little things that you can do that even if you're busy, it will just stop you in your tracks. Hey man, this is important. I need to send this voice note. I need to send this email. And that's really going to pay dividends when your busy time is over and you can reconnect with your friends and family as well.
Oh, very good. Well, thanks, John. It was nice chatting to you again. Good luck for your week and for everyone out there. We'll see you again at the right place.
Cheers, Rudolph.